This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3627 for Tuesday, the 28th of June, 2022. Today's show is entitled Only Key Duo. It is hosted by Operator and is about 16 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is I talk about my new hardware password manager.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio with your host Operator. Today we'll be talking about the Only Key Duo, which is a new version of Only Key that is a password typing tool, like a YubiKey, whatever, if you've heard that before. So back, I don't know when, probably 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, they did a Kickstarter for the new Only Key Duo. Now before this, I have the old one, or the current one, in my hand here. It's probably 2 inches, 3 inches long, 4 inches long, 3.5 inches long by an inch long. It has 6 buttons, and they're kind of soft buttons. Inducer buttons. They're not actual hardware buttons. They're the buttons like on your phone, whatever. It's not the same thing as your phone, but it's the non-buttony buttons. I don't really know how to explain it. Anyways, so it comes with 6 different buttons. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can flash it. It has an LED on the bottom. You can assign up to 20, whatever. I think you can have multiple profiles on it. I'm not really explaining what this is very well, but I've had it so long. The main idea is that you have a hardware-based password tool. So you plug in the USB port, you press a button, and it types your password. But before that, you have to type in a PIN that unlocks the device. So that's cool in that fact. It allows you to have complex passwords for stuff. It works over USB. There's a dongle to plug it into your phone. Now, we'll say about the dongle, you have to slow the speed down to a reasonable speed. If it types it too fast, it won't get picked up by the actual phone. So that's kind of odd. There's also other implementations of that issues with that, too. I've had BIOS boot stuff, like bootloader type of stuff for Symantec, do the same thing. So if it's full speed ahead and it's typing like lightning fast, instantly fast, the delay for the OS is not, how fast it can pick it up. So you might have to adjust the speed in very rare cases. Another edge case is a remote desktop over remote desktop over remote desktop. And sometimes there'll be some weird shenanigans with holding down shift and pressing a button. So a capital F might come out as a capital F, but then all the numbers are now symbols and the rest of the letters are capitalized. And then it might camel case at some point with the wrong password. And of course you don't want that. So there are some issues there. I want to say that's not hardware based. I want to say that's actually AutoHotkey. So I'm correcting myself out loud. So AutoHotkey will do that. It will type out really fast and sometimes it will mess up the shift actions, so you have to like manually slow those down or have it type the actual hold down the shift button, press the key, unhold the shift button, press the key, because there's a logic in there that says, okay, if you want a capital F, obviously you want to hold down the shift key, press F, and then go from there. So anyways, that's the odds and ends, the kind of the edge cases with it. The other thing is you want to have 2 of them, because if you have all your passwords on 1 hardware device, what happens when you lose that device? So right out of the box, they should sell you 2 for a cheaper price. So they're $55 a piece. They didn't used to be that expensive. $110. So what they should do is say, hey, if it's the first time ordering an Only Key, here's your first address people, it's only going to cost you $700. Maybe you get $5 off for your first order. So when you get 2, for your first order, because you have to have two. You can't not have two. I mean, you could conceivably have just one, and then when you lose it, go back to that other computer and, I don't know, wait 6 months for your thing. Like, I don't know a way to access the passwords once they've been pulled into the hardware key. They might be able to do it with the UI software, but needless to say, you don't want to be out a hardware key, so you have to buy two. That's kind of a problem. So you're spending right out of the gate, you're spending a minimum of $110. They used to not come with the little keychain, and I don't even see it in here. I think they started including them. You used to have a little keychain port, and that was like $5 too. I think they come with the little keychain part. Easy way to hook, kind of like a carabiner, basically. That's the original only key. I don't have any other beefs with it. You can change the LED lightness. Firmware updates are easy with the new one. The newer firmware, you can update the firmware a lot easier. Let me put my phone on silent, sorry. And the, like I said, the newer version is a very small, I don't want to pull it out, it's called the Only Key Duo. And again, they did a Kickstarter back in, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago. And they took a bunch of money, it's like 60K, and then they did the other Kickstarter, which is called, I don't remember the name of it. They took another, which was like upwards to $100,000 for Kickstarter, which I don't know anything about starting businesses. That's probably not enough. But Only Key already had a presence. They already have whatever, but they're open source and whatever. So the there's a separation between the open source and the paid version, I think, the actual hardware key and purchasing it. There's probably clones out there by now, whatever. I don't know. But I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a new approach. The problem with the old key, the traditional, the long stick only key, is that obviously it sticks out. So every time I move my laptop, I put it in my bag, I take it upstairs, I take it downstairs, I have to make sure that I pull that key out, because what's going to happen is it's going to clip something at some point in time and ruin the whole port. My USB-C port is not super happy right now, just from having stress over time of that USB-C port. And it's not like USB. You can't adjust the pins on USB-C very easily, because it's very small contacts. Regular USB, you can go in there and take a pin, safety pin or whatever, and rejuvenize that port. You can try contact cleaner on the contacts, and then you want to take that pin and shove it in the spring, the little part that keeps the USB plugged in. So if your USB port is wobbly, you can get a safety pin and like a magnifying glass and start pulling those down maybe a millimeter at a time. Make sure they're even and flat, and it will kind of rejuvenate that USB port. It'll never be the same, but it will at least hold it in there so it's not flopping around like a fish and disconnecting and causing, you know, I/O errors or whatever if you're copying stuff. So anyways, the new one sticks out. Jesus, it sticks out, I don't know, maybe quarter of an inch, if that. So I was confused at first, because I'm like, oh, this is going to be a pain to unplug. You know, I'm going to have to constantly unplug it and then put it on the keychain, and then it seems kind of dinky. The thickness of the new one is, I don't know, 2 millimeters thick. The thickness of the old one is very thick. It's very beefy, very, you know, like double stacked PCB board with a round, with an O-ring around it. So the old one's very sturdy, but the new one doesn't have to be that sturdy, because why? You're not going to unplug it that often. So that's the advantage there. There is a USB-C little dongle that it comes with, tiny little dongle that doesn't fit any other USB port. It's too thin. So I don't know what I can use that for. I think I actually threw it away and got rid of it. But the idea is that the new one, you don't have to take off. You're never going to have to take out. You're never going to have to move it around unless you have more than one device. And even then, if you have more than one device, the only time you should be moving it is if you're updating your passwords. So, you know, even if I had 10 of these, I would still only leave them all plugged in until which time I would change the password on one of the devices. And even then, you would just copy it over the network if you felt so inclined and you didn't want to like sneaker net it over or whatever. So once you have the hardware token in plugged in, there's no need to unplug it, plug it, and unplug it, plug it. The only reason I was unplugging it before was that it was going to clip the edge of something and ruin it. Now, the beef I have so far with it is that it's tactilely more sensitive. So you have to be careful about what you're pressing the soft buttons as they were. So it sticks out, like I said, it sticks out. If you have fat fingers, this is not for you. It sticks out about a quarter, like I said, quarter of an inch. And each, it's round, almost like a penny is sticking out of your USB port. Or a dime. So this dime-sized round object sticking out of your laptop is what types your passwords. And on one side is a 1, the other side is a 2. And if you press them both together, if you touch them both together, then that's 3. So between that, you can set up your PIN. You can set up to like 24. So 1, 2, 3, and then that's 3 different passwords. And then you have a whole long hold of 1, 2, 3. So that's what, 6. And somehow you can do 24. I don't know. But you can have multiple profiles too. And you can switch. I think that's what they do. They do multiple profiles. I only use 4. I only have 4 passwords and sort of a 5th one, but I know the 5th one. And I actually know all my passwords except 2 of them. So really, I only need it for 2 passwords. The rest of them are passphrases that I actually remember, because I don't always have my USB key for personal stuff, but I do always have it for work. So my work ones are super complex, and that seems to work. And so I have a different profile for my work ones, but in general, I really only have 2 complex ones that I don't know, and the rest are in a password safe or whatever. That's pretty much it. The other piece is that I kind of complained and said, hey, you know, hello, what's going on? There's no feedback about the Kickstarter. You know, you guys are supposed to be shipping out, you know, the end of last month, and there's nobody, they hadn't said anything in like a full 28 days or just, it was some ridiculous amount. It was like a month. So I said, look, you know, only chatter is external chatter from people that are wondering where their stuff is. So I put something on their official support and it got taken down the same day my account was suspended. So that's a little discerning that their own, you know, that's their own support site, so that they want to moderate, they can moderate it. But it's a little discerning that, you know, the only paste post I made on their support forums was pulled instantly, because it was kind of a rant saying, hey, if you're going to take, you know, $100,000 from 2,000, whatever, 100 people, you can at least let them know that what's going on. You know, you can't just ghost people. So they got a little offended with that and had it removed. And I can sort of understand that. But the only reason I found out is because I was logging in to help them and say, hey, the new USB Duo, the executable requires admin. So this is retarded. So if you're going to, you know, have an application that goes along. Now, before, the old version has a Chrome plugin that will still sort of work with the Duo, but you won't be able to actually set up the Duo initially without local admin. Now, the work around that, you can do the, I actually tried to do the set compatibility layer or whatever it's called in Windows. You can say, if nobody knows about this, but if something says you need admin to run it, you don't actually need admin, of course. You can run it as a different context. And let me look at that real quick. Hold on. The example I gave is on my GitHub under scripts autohotkey.bat. There is a set compat layer equals run as invoker, no spaces and caps. So that basically says it's a compatibility thing that you can right click an executable and say don't run as administrator or run as, you know, whatever user. I think that still exists in Windows. But anyways, that's one way to do it. And I ran it, and of course it said, oh, can't write to program files. So they won't even tell you, you can't even specify where you want to install the app, which is ridiculous. But luckily, I was able to use 7-zip to extract it, because it's a self-extracting executable, and that's all it is. This is some Java script crap. But I was able to run it, configure the Duo. So I do like it. I just wish that they had, and they're probably working on it, a Chrome-based setup tool that doesn't require administrator or the knowledge to right-click, extract, and then run the executable that needs to be ran to get the software to work. I'm sure there's other ways to configure it, and I'm just, you know, a stupid person. But I'm not going to crawl around their GitHub looking around for how to do it. I just went through their documentation, and they're like, download this and run it. And it's like, that's not going to work when it prompts you for admin. So a lot of people on secure systems don't run around as local admin. So if your requirement is that people have local admin to install your hardware key fob tool, that's a little bit ridiculous. So I kind of want to rant about that, but I'm not going to, it's a beta, you know, thing. You can actually buy them right now, I think. Let me check. Only key. Yep, they're the same price, $55. So you can get the Only Key Duo shipping out April 2022, which is now. So essentially, I could have ordered available pre-order shipping in April 2022. So I think I could have ordered it and got it about the same time as the Kickstarter. But whatever, it's Kickstarter. It's my first Kickstarter. Poppity blah. But that's my only beef. And I hope that helps somebody out. I've had an Only Key, but I gave it away. So I don't have anything to compare to. Take it easy.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.